football time.
Here we go, D!
Time to get ready for the weekend.
Hey, man!
This is Jake and TD with Jake Lyman and ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter Teron Davenport.
Presented by Soul Restaurant Nashville.
Your sports live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Jake and TD back with you on this Friday evening, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, getting you ready for what is going to be a fun weekend of football. We've got NFL games, as always, and the 12-team college football playoff kicking off right after us, Indiana and Notre Dame coming up right here on The Game. Jake Lyman, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport. TD, I know we've been hanging out a lot this last week, but how's it going?
Yeah, no, it's going really well, man. It's been a great week, a lot of opportunities to talk shop, and we actually got a lot of really positive feedback, and I appreciate everybody for the reaching out and just, you know, saying how much you like the show. And hey, Jake, you got a lot of fans out there, so that's a good thing.
It's been fun. It's been fun filling in for Jared a little bit. If you missed Tuesday's show, TD and I did a full-on deep dive on the Titans quarterback situation. So we're not going to spend too much time on that today. But if you do want to hear more about what we think the Titans might do at quarterback moving forward, go check out the Stillman and Company podcast from Tuesday when we filled in for Jared. Before we get into Titans talk, TD, on our way in here, we were listening to DVD, and they got a question for D-Mace asking about sometimes how you guys defend what the Titans say, whether you guys do it or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, put that defend in quotation marks.
I want to say, quote-unquote, how Derek Mason, Chris Sanders, and Teron Davenport defend what the Titans say. Here is what the question was to Derek Mason earlier on today.
Derek, I want you to take a deep breath as I'm reading this, okay? I just want you to get in your zone. I want you to take a deep breath.
Think happy thoughts.
Ask D-Mace.
Okay.
How come you and Chris Sanders and Teron Davenport always make excuses when someone with the Titans says something stupid? The ball didn't bounce their way, didn't have another meaning. Neither did Jarvis Brownlee saying guys were too cold. But you pretend like they meant something else.
Thoughts?
Well, first of all, I didn't defend Jarvis Brownlee's comments about guys not liking the cold. I didn't defend that at all. So I don't know what this weird texter is talking about. Now, the ball didn't bounce their way. Okay, I did stand up for that because you had select people like Jarrett Stillman took it literally. And I said it's not a literal meaning. It's symbolic. And it is a phrase that you use in football where the ball didn't bounce your way. And it's in regards to, like, it's not saying the ball didn't literally bounce your way. It's saying in regards to things that didn't go in your favor, and it's a figure of speech. So here's the deal, texter.
Bob and Mount Juliet.
There's a such thing as explaining something. And just because I'm explaining it doesn't mean I'm defending it. Now, in the ball didn't bounce the way case, I was defending that. And I'm going to defend something if I believe it to be true. So Bob and Mount Juliet, if you don't like it, nothing you can do about it. I'm going to keep explaining or defending and critiquing the way I do. And just because I'm not pounding the table, shouting and whining about something being wrong, doesn't mean I'm not saying it's wrong. I've pointed out many things with this organization that are wrong. It's just not in the colorful way that you want, but that doesn't mean I'm always defending. So you know what, Bob, in Mount Juliet, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the local, I think there's a Target in Mount Juliet. Go there, right? Get yourself a set of Legos. And I want you to go home, spread the Legos out on the floor, take your shoes off, and walk on them.
Wow. Harsh stuff here from Teron Davenport. Step on a Lego. That's one of the there are a few pains worse than stepping on a Lego. I'm with you, TD. I think that quote from Rand Carthon, was it the best thing that he could have said in that moment? Probably not. I think there was a better way for him to put it other than the ball didn't bounce your way. But it also didn't need to be blown up into what it's become
exactly.
of this giant thing where people are saying Rand Carthon's blaming all of the Titans' struggles on the shape of the ball. That is not what Rand Carthon was saying. But he was saying that, you know, NFL games are so close and the margin for error is so little that sometimes one or two plays not going your way can be the difference in a game. I mean, early on in the season, I know there's been a few blowouts this year, but the Titans easily could have started 2-0. There were a couple of plays. Will Levis made some bad plays. There were a few plays that just didn't go their way, and you were 0-2 and started this slide that has led to a 3-11 record.
Yeah, and it's like Brian Callahan a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, if there were three or four plays that if they went differently, the outcome would be different. You know what? That's every week.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, yeah, that's a case of the ball not in the case of it being a close scoring game, it makes a huge difference. The Texans missed a 29-yard field goal, you know, against the Titans, and you know, that helps fuel them to the win. The Titans to the win. So there are times where it's a figure of speech.
Yes. I agree that, you know, Rand Carthon and even Brian Callahan and others, sometimes they say things that don't come out the way that they mean to. But there's no reason to jump all over them all the time for it. Like, yes, you got to hold these guys accountable. They've got to come out and you want them to say the right things. But I agree. Holding a guy to the fire over the ball hasn't bounced your way as much as it's been done. It just doesn't make sense.
And I mean, if it's a wrong statement, it's a wrong statement. Like, it is what it is. But in this case, I don't think it was. I mean, there are plenty of statements that weren't that good that came out that are indefensible. So, and when those statements come out, we talk about them, and it is what it is. But don't confuse explaining with defending.
Right.
Because after all, that is, I feel, what I'm here to do. Like, that's not what I feel I'm what I'm here to do. That's the way I like to approach. I like to explain it. Let's look at both sides of it, and you make of it what you will. I'm not going to sit here and try to influence you to think that, you know, so-and-so is this, and I'm not going to try to influence you to think that so-and-so is that. I'm just going to give you, hey, look, this is what I think. This is the explanation of what I see, and boom.
And it's helpful to have that because a lot of times these clips are taken out of context. Like Doug Gottlieb this week. Not that I think he's doing a good job as the head coach at Green Bay, but that quote about nobody you has been taken out of context a little bit. He was not referring directly to Michigan Tech when he said that. So you need reporters like yourself to come out and say, hey, I don't think what he said was great, but let's add a little bit of context to this so you can understand what he was trying to get across with what he was saying.
But evidently, if you don't, you know, make a big stink and fuss about something, like, you're defending it. Heck out of here,
right,
man.
Right.
Let's move on with this.
Yeah,
show.
Bob and Mount Juliet, TD, he says head out to the Target, step on a Lego for going after D-Mace, Chris Sanders, and TD. Quickly at the end of this segment, I mentioned we are going to go too deep on the quarterback stuff today because, again, TD and I filled in for Jared for 4 hours on Tuesday. We spent most of it on the quarterback situation, so you can go back and listen to that. But Teron, this weekend, Mason Rudolph is going to get the start against the Colts. What do you think that means for the Titans on offense? We've seen Mason Rudolph win a couple of games this year, although the Dolphins and Patriots games, I wouldn't say those were the most inspiring offensive performances the Titans have seen. What do you think we can expect from Mason Rudolph as the Titans try and get back on track on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it means that they'll be on schedule. I think it should mean less turnovers. There's still likely to be one or two. It's just the way things have happened with this team, but really what it is just a shift, and I think Brian Callahan is saying, hey, look, you know, we tried it, but it didn't work. He even, when I asked him, he said, you know, it's not for lack of coaching. We've poured resources into making Will Levis, you know, better, and he's shown improvement, but it hasn't been consistent. That's what Callahan said. So they have done that too, and I think you got to show that your offense could work, and I think that's what they're bringing Rudolph in, is to execute the offense.
we're not going to get a Will Levis Anthony Richardson Bowl at all this year because Richardson didn't start in game one. Levis played Joe Flacco this week. We'll get Mason Rudolph and Anthony Richardson. We'll talk a little bit about Richardson later on in the show, but coming up next, it's rare that anybody with the Titans can say something enough or say something controversial or big enough to get on First Take. This week that changed. Brian Callahan had a quote on Wednesday when asked about how tough his team is and whether his team could be considered soft. It has made national headlines. We are going to react to it next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Jake and TD here on Friday evenings, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
There are a lot of folks who think this team is soft physically and mentally. How would you respond to that idea?
I mean, you really want to get me going today? yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think that's complete and total bull, if you want my honest opinion. These guys are tough f***ers, man. They go after it every day. They play hard as hell. And there's at no point have we ever put on tape at any point this season that this is a soft football team. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around how that would even be a conversation. I mean, just because we don't win games doesn't mean we're soft. These guys play their ass off. They play hard. They play physical. You can ask any team that plays against us that when they come off the field, they know they played us. Yeah, that makes me relatively angry that would be some presumption. That means you just don't watch the shit, you know. You don't do anything about it that you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're looking at. So I'm not going to stand for anybody calling this football team soft. I think that's shit. So if there's opinions out there that feel that way, then, you know, they don't know anything about NFL football. So I'd like you to walk in there and call one of these guys soft and see what happens. You know, this is not a soft football team at all, mentally or physically. And I think one of the things mentally that's really been impressive about the team is that the way that they keep fighting through the way that this season has gone. They've not shown at any point that they're not up to the task. They come out every day and work. They have – I mean, I'm a really – you're going to really get me going now. I mean, these guys come out here and they do everything possible to win games. And if there's any assumption anywhere that's outside of this building, again, we don't focus on all those things, but there's no possible explanation to say that this team is soft any way, shape, or form, mentally or physically. And the way that they go about their work it's insulting to me, to them, to everyone that works here. So, I'm not – that no chance ever in hell would I ever admit that to be the case, and neither would anybody in this locker room. So you can kind of shove that one right up your to be honest, so –
Brian Callahan standing up for his guys on Wednesday in his weekly press conference. Lot of beeps there. Lot of censoring that we had to get done to play that clip. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Jake and TD, presented by Soul Nashville here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. TD, you were there. That is a clip that is making headlines as Brian Callahan was asked about the mental and physical toughness of his team. And he came out and wholeheartedly said that he does not have a soft team. And he said it in no uncertain terms. And I love it from the head coach. Even though it's been a tough season, standing up for his guys and saying that they're putting their best foot forward every single day.
He needed to do it. I think it was really necessary. I get, there are some who say, hey, well, he made those comments, so that means that he knows he's not going to be back here next year. That's like Stretch Armstrong level.
I would have said the opposite.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I've heard where people have said that he reacted that way because he is soft. I don't agree with that either. This is what I could do. I could put myself in that situation. And I say it like this. Well, you heard it last segment, right? Like, if you say something that I care about deeply, I'm going to react. And that's just me as a person. In this case, that's Brian Callahan as a person. He reacted to something that he cares about deeply. He cares about that team. As a coach, the last thing you want, like, that's the ultimate slap in the face. You call my team soft. Now, whether or not they're soft, I mean, they have a few players that I would probably put in that category, right? But that doesn't mean the whole team. Here's the deal. They're just a bad football team, like, period. That's really the thing.
And I think you could probably find soft players on every single team. There, nobody, I believe it's draft day where the coach in that movie says, I've got 52 Tarzans. I could use a Jane. I'm not sure coaches actually feel that way. But Brian Callahan, I love it, showing up for his team there. And you have to know how frustrating it probably and disappointing it has to be for Brian Callahan. You wait so long to get this opportunity to be a head coach. And, you know, I think everybody, no matter what field you're in, when you get your dream job, you expect to take it and run with it and immediately have success. And that clearly hasn't been the case for Brian Callahan this year. You're 3-11. I'm sure there's a lot of frustration, as I said, and you know, he took it out a little bit there. And I love a couple times, "You really want to get me going here." I know that it's probably built up within him, and that kind of was him releasing it. But I get it from Brian Callahan. I don't think this was the expectation that he had for this season, and it hasn't gone well. But he's still standing behind his guys, which I think is, that's the number one thing you need from a head coach, is you gotta be there for your team. And if he had let that slide, what would people be saying about him?
Right.
Like
if
he was like, "Yeah, there's a little bit of that on this team," or something like that, I think people would be saying, "Wow, he doesn't believe in his guys. He doesn't stand up for his team." He did exactly what I think he needed to do when asked that question. And I applaud Brian Callahan for making sure everybody knew that he's got those guys. And I think that maybe we see a little juice from them this Sunday, trying to back up their head coach after those comments this week.
This Sunday is going to speak a lot to where he is and where that team is. Because even though these are comments that were made on Wednesday, I think it's something I would imagine he's going to, I know if it were me, when I get in front of them, I'm like, "Hey, man, you know, you got people out there wrongly calling you soft. We know what it, nobody tests our manhood. Let's go out there and whoop their boop, 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 boop." You know what I mean? And that would be my pregame speech to them, you know, along those lines. So I think this week is going to really tell.
And it's against the Colts, too. It's not like you're out there playing the Lions.
It's a rival team.
Or the Bills. Yeah, it's a rival team. It's a divisional game. This is one where you could really go out and prove that this team at least has some things moving in the right direction culturally. Because that's all you're trying to build at this point. You're 3-11. You're eliminated from playoff contention. The wins don't mean anything at this point outside of trying to build a winning culture. And I think after your coach goes out and defends you like that publicly to the media, and I mentioned in the last segment, it's been talked about on First Take. Stephen A. Smith and Dan Orlovsky reacted to it earlier this week. Like, it's out there. People have seen that you've been accused of being soft. Your coach stood up for you. I'd like to see this team come out and win one for Brian Callahan after those statements this week. Who knows what happens? Again, like you said, this isn't a very good football team. So I'm not sure that they can just flip a switch like that. But I would hope that there's going to be an increased focus this week at the very least.
Right. They go out there and compete. That's the least that you could do for yourself, but also for the head coach. Like Jeffrey Simmons said, man, guys are playing. You're playing for the name on the back of the jersey, too. There's still plenty to play for. Calvin Ridley, he's playing for 1K, man, 221 more yards, and he's got it.
221, so about 75 a game would get him there. It's doable, and we saw with Mason Rudolph in there, Ridley played pretty well that Lions
Detroit game.
Yep. So wonder if maybe that connection is going to be big again for this team as Mason Rudolph steps back in. But going to be an interesting one on Sunday. Titans have now lost three straight again, 3-11 on the year, three divisional games to wrap up the season, back-to-back on the road here at Indy and then at Jacksonville. These are opportunities for Brian Callahan to prove that he's the guy to lead this team moving forward, and I think Sunday is going to be a big first step. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you here on this Friday evening, getting ready for Titans and Colts on Sunday. And then also, later on in the show, we're going to look at the college football playoff as we've got the first 12-team playoff game tonight, right after us. You can keep it right here on the game, Indiana and Notre Dame from South Bend. I believe that's going to be a snow game. So should be a fun one up there to start off the first round, and then three games tomorrow, including Tennessee and Ohio State. tomorrow night. So we'll get into that later on in the show. But coming up next, this is the first time the Titans are facing Anthony Richardson this season. Lost to Joe Flacco earlier in the year. What can the Titans do against Richardson to try and slow him down and get a win on Sunday? We'll talk about that coming up next. Jake and TD, presented by Soul Nashville here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake and TD, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Here with you on this Friday evening as we get ready for what should be a great football weekend. College football tonight and tomorrow. NFL football tomorrow as well. Two NFL games on a Saturday. And then obviously the full slate on Sunday, including Titans at Colts. We will not have a show next week. Quick reminder there with the holiday. And then next Friday, Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech in the Birmingham Bowl here on The Game. And also a Preds game that night. So no Jake and TD next weekend. Our next show will be after the new year on January 3rd. So looking forward to that. But today, previewing Titans and Colts. Titans trying to avoid falling to 3-12. And the Colts, they are still in there for a playoff spot. Not likely for them. But the Broncos losing last night, I believe, helped some of those teams on the outside looking in. Colts, Dolphins, Bengals. So a team still playing for something in the Colts at home in front of their home crowd. Titans, we just talked about the quote from Brian Callahan, defending his players after they were accused of being a soft team. This is one where the Titans, yes, mathematically you don't have much to play for, but it does feel like one where the Titans are going to have some motivation going in, not only for themselves, but also a chance to, you know, spoil a division rival's playoff chances. Hey. We saw it last year with Jacksonville, a chance to do the same thing this week.
Yeah, and that's always something that you like to do. So I'm sure that they'll be. I remember Arden Key before that week, you know, leading up to that Jaguars game. That's what he was saying, man. Like, he was like, you know, we can't party, so we don't want anybody else to. We want to ruin it for everybody else. And that's, you know, that's the mindset. That's the approach that you have, you know, at this point, because there is still a lot to play for, but technically the year is over when you look at it as far as the playoffs and everything are concerned. So it is a chance to play. But the Colts, man, like, just – and Stephen Holder, the ESPN NFL Nation Colts reporter, he pointed it out so well in talking with TD when we had him. This is a team that repetitively does this, where they just, like, salt away their chances to go to the playoffs with some dumb late season – performances that lead to losses.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, we saw last week Jordan Battle in Nashville dropping the ball before he got in the end zone. That one looked more like an accident from Battle. He was swapping hands, which I don't know why he was doing that at the 1 yard line, but he was swapping hands and dropped it. More of an accident. Jonathan Taylor just dropping the football flat out last week and ended up leading to a loss for the Colts. You mentioned this is a trend for them. That Carson Wentz Jaguars game a few years ago, All they had to do was go beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville, and they were going to the playoffs, and Wentz blew it, and they couldn't get the win. So definitely something the Colts are used to at this point. Titans a chance to pretty much salt away any shot of Indianapolis going to the playoffs. Looking at this Indy team, TD, Anthony Richardson, after being benched earlier in the year, dealing with some injuries, I don't think he's looked great lately, but he's started to look better. Kind of like Bryce Young in that way of got benched, come back, have shown some signs of progress, but obviously not where their respective teams want them to be at this point in their second year.
Yeah, and that's really what it is. And Bryce Young, like, he did a good job of coming back and re-cementing himself as the future. Unfortunately, I don't see it that way here. Quick on the quarterback side of things, it didn't hit me until yesterday. Derek Carr is another option that I would look at. And Actually, for me, when I look at this, I probably say Derek Carr would be a better option than Justin Fields because there's a little more sureness to it. Clearly has warts. Like, let's not get it twisted. But you got the previous relationship with Callahan, and like I said, a little more. He's proven himself to be able to be a productive player. So that's one I would look at. But as far as what do you think about that, actually?
I'm with you. I think that because I was saying on Tuesday how Justin Fields scared me a little bit just because of the potential of the fool's gold with him. If he came out and had a really good year next year, led the team to a 9-8 record where you're kind of in the playoff conversation, you might feel tempted to give him a long-term deal. I said I would lean towards Kirk Cousins maybe because you wouldn't have that threat of thinking he's the long-term option when he wouldn't be – I wouldn't put him in that category. But Carr, I think, might be the best player out of those three right now. Still not great, but you also don't have that threat of – like, if Derek Carr comes in here and has a really good year, I don't think the Titans are signing him to a $30 million a year contract.
No. So, but, I mean, if Fields came in and had a really good year, then, hey, that's good. He's had a good year. He's shown that he could be – so you do look at it. Now, I'm not saying like a huge contract, but, you know, you could keep him around.
Right, but like I said on Tuesday, my thing is I don't think Justin Fields is a quarterback who's going to win a team a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So it would be more the time than the money of, hey, if he has a good year next year, let's sign him to a four-year deal. Well, now for at least 2 or 3 years, you're locked into Justin Fields, and I don't think he's the guy to get you over the hump. I wouldn't hate Justin Fields being the quarterback next year. I honestly think he'd be one of the better options, but I think that's a good point. Derek Carr, I would probably put him above Fields for me heading into next year.
And in addition to that, though, really, if you look at it, how many quarterbacks in this league are the one? Yeah, you know
that's
what I mean?
That's a good point.
You got your Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar, Mahomes, right? Jared Goff to be seen, but I think possible. Jalen Hurts to be seen. Of course, it's a Saquon show out there, but, you know, I think there's, what, probably like four?
Yeah.
Maybe five guys you could say, hey, I'm winning a Super Bowl with them.
I guess it's the hope for me of if you draft a young quarterback, you feel like he could end up developing into one of those guys. With Justin Fields, I think you kind of know he's, yes, could he be a serviceable starting quarterback in this league? Maybe even a, you know, top 15 to 20 quarterback in this league. Sure. I just don't think he has the room to develop to get to that level. Mm. Who knows if you took a quarterback this year, next year, 2 years down the road, what that guy might end up being.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where I stand. But, you know, the Colts are still sorting through this. I think Richardson probably has earned himself another year as their guy, even though they did bench him earlier this season.
Such a low completion percentage.
I know. I don't believe Richardson ends up being the guy, but for the Colts, you're not going to have a high draft pick. They're kind of in the situation I thought the Titans were in 2 weeks ago, where it's like there's no harm in giving him another year. And as long as Richardson doesn't completely bottom out in these final 3 weeks, I feel like they're going to stay there and probably give Richardson another season.
Yeah, no, I agree. And one thing I do think they have to do is continue to feature the long ball. Like, he's a guy he throws that deep ball with the best of them. Now, they won't have Alec Pierce. Apparently, he's out for this game. But I think you look at just the other options. You know, Michael Pittman obviously is a deep threat. You know, A.D. Mitchell could get down the field. They have to kind of feature what he does well. And one thing he does well is throw it.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson is definitely a great runner of the football, and he can sling it deep. The throw, was it against the Bengals earlier this year?
I think it was the Bengals. You're talking about that deep post
where
he was like
almost
on the ground and went like 70 yards?
Yeah, just a flick of the wrist to the goal line from his own 25-yard line. And that's the traits that keep you coming back on guys like Anthony Richardson of, hey, we can figure out the other stuff if we still have this. Like, you can't teach that arm strength. You can't teach his physical abilities. So I do think the Colts give him another year. What do you think the Titans will have to do on Sunday to try and limit him, especially as a runner? Because that's where he could really take over a game if he gets a couple of big runs and you know, kind of does a little Josh Allen impression of taking over a game with that way.
You know, this is one of those games where I feel Tavondre Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, they could really impact it. And I'm not saying get the sacks. Yeah, if they could get the sacks, great. But you have to be able to push the pocket back and be disciplined in your pass rush lanes. And when I say discipline in the pass rush lanes, what I mean is don't give him that seam to find. Because if he finds a seam, he's going to take off. At the same time, your rushers, long story short, it's a coordinated rush. You want to collapse the pocket from the interior, but you want to be able to do that and flush him to the guys that are attacking from the outside. But the guys from the outside have to make sure that they don't overrun the quarterback. Like, if you feel yourself getting too deep, you hit that spin move back in or Work your way back up the field so you're not running by him, giving him a way to escape. So if you have it all coordinated, and I remember talking about this when the Ravens and Titans played in that divisional game, and I likened it to National Geographic. And it's where you have the pride of lions, right, and the select few that are doing the hunting, and you'll see one set of them kind of like chase the gazelle a certain way. And what's waiting to pounce on him? Another set of lions. And that's how you get the easy catch because, you know, pound for pound, they can't run with Anthony Richardson just like, you know, the lions can't run with an antelope. But when you coordinate it and you execute a strategic game plan, you will bring them down.
Right. It's less about trying to match his physical ability because you're going to lose that matchup. Mm-hmm. It's you have to have a game plan for him. That divisional game, was it Kenny Vaccaro who said basically it's like they ran Engage 8 and Madden on every single play, just basically had everybody go and just swarm Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Maybe we see that against Anthony Richardson on Sunday. Titans facing Richardson for the first time this season as he missed the first game of the year as the Colts beat the Titans in Nashville. Noon kick from Indianapolis on Sunday. Titans trying to avoid falling to 3-12 on the year. First of back-to-back divisional road games. They'll be in Jacksonville next week. We'll take our final break here. When we come back, we're going to move on from the NFL, get to some college football. We have college football playoff action right after us tonight. Notre Dame, Indiana coming up in just a couple of minutes from South Bend. Cross-state battle. There's snow on the ground. It's going to be awesome. And then we've got three games tomorrow as well. We'll look through those quickly and wrap up the show when we come back. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Jake and TD here on this Friday night, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake and TD, final segment on this Friday evening. Getting you ready for this football weekend that starts in just a few minutes. First of four college football playoff games coming up right after us, Indiana and Notre Dame from South Bend. First ever campus site playoff game in college football. Going to be a blast. Excited for that one again. Stay tuned right here to The Game. Coverage starting right after us. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport. We're going to dive into this college football playoff here in our final segment. We've got four games this weekend. TD, let's start with this Indiana-Notre Dame game right after us. A game that I think on paper, Notre Dame, they're the more talented team, right? They have the better recruits. Marcus Freeman has brought in Riley Leonard to be their quarterback. But Indiana, they have just found a way to win ball games this year. Kurt Cignetti in his first year over from James Madison, 11-1. He likes to say, Google me. I win everywhere I go. Do you think that the Hoosiers have a chance to go into South Bend and pull off the upset tonight?
I do think they have a chance. And Robbie Bourne, the Titans PR guy, we were talking yesterday at the game. He was asking me, or practice, he was asking me, you know, my take. And I started with this game. And I'm like, I think Indiana's going to win this. It's something, and I know they haven't beaten anybody. That's true. But everybody that they beat, they walked the dog on them. Right, there were no breaks left. They beat the breaks off of everybody that they beat. So you got to love that. But the thing is, there's something to a team like this, a hungry team that's led by a coach like Cignetti. They have players like Curtis Rourke, I think, is a very intriguing guy. He and Will Levis, actually, they have the same QB coach, Ryan Williams of QB Motion. Or not QB Motion. I forget what it is, but he's out of Canada. Anyhow, I like what Indiana brings. And that passing game, I think, is going to be interesting seeing that against Notre Dame. They're going to have to attack through the air and find ways to win. You look at Notre Dame, though, they've been playing really, really good football. I mean, obviously, the loss to Northern Illinois is one that you really look at and you go, oof. But they've played really well since then. So you got to give them that. I go Indiana, though. And watch that little corner. I love him. I love him. D'Angelo Pons, man. Watch him, man. He shut down Jeremiah Smith.
Right.
In the Ohio State game. Yeah.
Which has not been easy to do. Jeremiah Smith has been, I mean, you could put him up there for being the best wide receiver in college football as a true freshman, him and Ryan Williams from Alabama. Yeah.
I saw he might be transferring, Ryan Williams.
I think that was a joke.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
I almost fell for that, too. I saw it on Twitter, and I was like, there's no way that he's transferring. I think it was a joke, but I can't be 100% sure.
That's stupid.
We'll have to confirm.
Whoever came up with that joke, you could join Bob and Mount Juliet walking on Legos barefooted.
We got two over there at the Target in Mount Juliet. Now.
Yeah.
I was going to mention, on Indiana-Notre Dame. So the winner of this game gets Georgia, and it came out yesterday that Carson Beck going to miss that game in the quarterfinals. Now, Georgia has other options at quarterback, and Carson Beck obviously hasn't been phenomenal this year. But the path for the winner of this game to get to the national championship just got a whole lot easier. Winner of this game, you'll face a Georgia team without its starting quarterback. Still not easy, but if you get through that, then you play Boise State or Penn State, whoever comes out of that side of the bracket, which, again, not easy, but winnable. It's not like you're facing Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Tennessee.
And that's if Penn State beats SMU, because you know what?
SMU could be in there, too.
I got a couple upset specials this weekend.
You're thinking the Ponies get it done this weekend, too?
I got the Ponies and the Indiana. Hoosiers.
So Hoosiers and Ponies for TD. I like the Hoosiers pick. I think that Indiana could get it done. I'm sticking with Penn State tomorrow. Yeah. I guess that's a morning kick. That's like 11 a.m. Central Time.
And watch that game, because Abdul Carter, that's a guy that we've been talking about as someone at the – I almost said the Mets. Someone at the Titans. That's my team. The Titans are your team, folks. Someone that the Titans should really have circled.
Yes, we kind of went through that last week on the show, filling in for Jared. Some of the guys who the Titans could look at in the draft who are playing in the college football playoff, a lot of edge rushers. Georgia's got a couple guys over there. Jalen Walker, one that could end up being a top 10, 15 pick. And then James Pierce with Tennessee as well.
And Georgia actually has two.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got – Georgia always has great players over on that side of the ball. Speaking of Tennessee, let's get to that game quickly. Ohio State-Tennessee tomorrow night in Columbus. There are rumors that Tennessee might have like 35 or 40% of the crowd up there. Ohio State reeling after that loss to Michigan.
Yeah.
The fans not happy with Ryan Day. Tennessee kind of feels like they're playing with house money at this point. The question is going to be, and we've talked about this, can Nico go up there and win this football game? Yeah. I know it's going to rely on defense and Dylan Sampson, but you're going to need that young quarterback to make a couple of plays.
Yeah, and you're going to need plays with his legs. You know, obviously in the air too, but I mean, those where you're third and long, you know, get that first down running. I was talking to Stillman actually yesterday, and he had told me that the walk-in price there was like $90.
Yeah,
and you could get Lowe's for like $120.
It's crazy.
That's crazy to me. A college football playoff game, $120?
On a campus site. Like, Columbus is a bigger city. I understand it's 4 days before Christmas, but it's not like this game is in, I'm trying to think, like Starkville, Mississippi or something like that.
Right.
Like,
this is at the Horseshoe,
this
man.
This is at the Shoe in Columbus. I think Ohio State fans are just so upset with Ryan Day not winning big games that they just don't want to spend their money on it. Mm-hmm. And no, I did see that. I saw a Tennessee fan posted their tickets and said they got in for like $80-something.
Well, Ryan Day's going to be with Mike Vrabel in the NFL somewhere.
Yes.
Maybe with the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah. That article that came out about the Jets yesterday. How about denying a trade because of Madden ratings?
Yeah, crazy.
I couldn't believe that. So you mentioned you've got SMU and Indiana pulling off the upset. The one game we haven't mentioned, Texas and Clemson. Interesting one, because Clemson, I think in my eyes, Clemson just doesn't really belong. They got very lucky that Miami lost to Syracuse, and they got an opportunity to play in the ACC championship. And that's a spot where Dabo's been before. And he was able to get his team ready for one game to go to the playoff and win the ACC against an SMU team that really hadn't been there before. It was their first year in the league. They won on a last-second field goal. I kind of expect Texas to just run them out of the building.
Me too. I think Texas is going to walk the dog on them. I really do. And Watch out, Kelvin Banks, you know, the left tackle. That's somebody to watch, you know, from a Titans draft perspective. Not this year, but next year, maybe beyond. DeAndre Moore, number zero, the receiver for Texas, he's fun to watch.
They've got a few wide receivers. Matthew Golden is another one.
Yeah.
Silas Bolden, Golden and Bolden. And I believe it is going to be Quinn Ewers playing tomorrow. I know he's been banged up throughout the year, but he made it through that SEC championship game for the most part. So I think it will be yours. I don't think we're going to see the Arch Manning show, but I think it's
too much talent on there.
Right.
And Dabo and the whole not wanting to do the transfer portal and stay away from NIL is going to eventually cost them. And I think this is one of the weeks where the difference is really going to show. They blow Clemson out of the water. You hear me? It's going to be one of those games, I believe, 10 minutes in, you're going to be like, yeah, what else is on? Because this isn't fun to watch. Just saying.
I'm with you. I think that's the middle game of the day. I have a feeling that the second half of that game, everybody's just going to be like, all right, can we just start Ohio State-Tennessee at this point? Can we just get to it? Ohio State-Tennessee, we didn't say our predictions there. Do you think the Vols can go in there and get the win?
This one is a tough one to call because I do feel like the towel has been thrown in Ohio State. Give me the Vols, man. I'm going to take the Vols on the road. And like you said, that defense and Dylan Sampson, that's a pack-and-play approach. You run the ball, play defense, you can win on the road.
Right. That travels on the road. It plays in the cold. It's going to be in the low 20s up there. I think the Vols are going to keep it close. I struggle to pick Ohio State because I just don't believe in Ryan Day, but I also know that that's the most talented roster in college football, mm-hmm. and I think that they're going to find a way to win at home. I don't think they'll get past Oregon, though. I think Oregon will get them for a second time this season.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, I do think they can get past Tennessee tomorrow.
Okay. I got it. Listen, I'm not mad at you.
We're
not going to be on until after New Year.
Right, so we'll miss the quarterfinals too.
Yeah, so okay, all right, so look. So the way it looks, Texas, Arizona State. I'm going Texas.
Give me Arizona State in that one. I think okay. Scataboo gets it done.
Okay, Oregon, Tennessee, or Ohio State. We're on opposite ends of there.
I'm going to go Oregon.
We both feel Oregon's going to advance.
Yep.
Okay, SMU, Boise State. I go Boise. Penn State, Boise State.
I'll go Penn State.
Okay. Ooh, there's a difference. Indiana, Notre Dame. I go Indiana. You go Notre Dame, right?
No, I'll go Indiana with you.
Okay, so Indiana, yeah. Georgia. I'm going Georgia.
I'll go Georgia, too.
There you go,
so,
right there.
So we'll be back before the semifinals, which will be in early January. So you have Texas, Oregon, and then Boise?
Texas, Oregon, Boise, Georgia.
Okay, and then I've got Arizona State, Oregon, old Pac-12 matchup there, and then Penn State and Georgia. So We'll see. We'll reevaluate in 2 weeks and see who got closer through the first two rounds of the playoffs. Again, Indiana and Notre Dame is coming up right after us here on the game. First ever campus site playoff game. Going to be a blast. And snow on the ground. It's football weather up there in South Bend.
Yeah.
Excited for it. TD, another fun show. Enjoy your holiday break, and I guess we'll catch up after the new year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Looking forward to it. You enjoy your break, and everybody out there, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Be safe. Love on those who love on you, and always, always keep your head up.
Amen to that. That does it for us. Jake and TD signing off here on this Friday evening. Enjoy the college football playoff. We'll talk to you after the new year here on 102.5 and 106.3.